Markowitz Show. It's his world. You just live in it.
Red State Talk Radio, WRS Digital, Cleveland, Tennessee.
Those who would trade our freedom for the soup kitchen of the welfare state have told us they have a utopian solution, a peace without victory. They call their policy accommodation. And they say if we'll only avoid any direct confrontation with the enemy, he'll forget his evil ways and learn to love us.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
In this present crisis, government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
Politics, 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 politics.
That's right. It's politics, politics, politics. Welcome and good morning. I am your host, Warren Markowitz, and this is Politically Incorrect on the Warren Markowitz Show. We are here. We have made it. It is the end of the week, and boy, oh boy, has it been a fun one. We've got everything from slavery to the internet, and it seems like they're all coming together with one big little bitty mess. That's right, folks, it's reparations time again. It's time to talk about compensating people for things they didn't do, weren't involved with, didn't have anything to do with, and happened 150 years ago. But hey, well, it's not right what's going on now, so let's pay people for things that happened earlier. And of course, we have got the October 1st, 2016 deadline for the United States to hand over the keys to the Internet Kingdom. ICANN, I-C-A-N-N, which is the International Center for, well, it is, excuse me, the naming convention people, those guys that take Galt Speaks or WarrenMarkowitz.com or RadioMarkowitz.com or whatever combination of .coms, .bombs, and .blobs you want, turns them into those itty-bitty numbers and allows you to find what you're looking for on the World Wide Web. There's only one problem. The U.S. is no longer going to be the direct person in charge of oversight of ICANN. And that means it's going to the other international body that also wants you to cut a check for your favorite person that you, well, didn't enslave just yet. That's right, the UN is getting oversight one more time. It seems like the big bad world government that we've all been worried about and all been thinking about seems to be showing up. That's right, folks. It is that time. We've got a presidential election. We've got Clown A and Clown B. Oh, God help us. We've got Clown C. Gary Johnson seems to prove that while you might be a libertarian, you might want to be a non-interventionalist, you got to have some understanding of what goes on around the world for things that you don't want to get involved with. Otherwise, we wind up facing things like, what is Aleppo? Or can you name a foreign leader? It sounds like a third grade or a fourth grade education. And that's pretty much where the man stopped. Don't even think he learned how to behave himself in kindergarten from everything you need to know from Star Trek. But hey, I guess he's proven how effective a leader he could be by simply saying he has no idea who he's getting in bed with or what he's getting involved with. So before we get ourselves lost, before we get ourselves involved in this conversation, I just want to remind you, you can find us at www.spreaker.com. You can find us at podomatic.com, blogtalkradio.com, and of course, just Google Warren Markowitz and follow the podcast links. We're at Tumblr. We're at, we're on Tumblr. We're on YouTube. We are on iTunes. Everything you need, everything you want, and everything you need to find this show and those prior can be located on the World Wide Web, as long as, of course, it's free, open, and accessible. And if that doesn't work out, I guess we're just going to have to bury it on a Tor server somewhere and let you guys find it the good old-fashioned way with tools the government can't poke around with. So if you haven't used them yet and you want to figure them out, go download yourself a Tor browser, T-O-R, or set up an I2P terminal and see where you can go with that. Yes, there are avenues and opportunities to let you work without being bothered by Big Brother. Sit tight, hang on, and enjoy the ride. It's going to be an interesting talk today. I'm Warren Markowitz. I'm your host for Politically Incorrect on the Warren Markowitz Show, and I will be right back after this short, necessary commercial break. Hang on.
The voice of American conservatism, WRS Digital, Red State Talk Radio.
This program is brought to you by the Law Office of Warren R. Markowitz, Esquire. Attorney Markowitz, that's me, is licensed in New York, the U.S. District Court and Bankruptcy Courts in Colorado, and the 9th and 10th Circuit Courts of Appeal. For more information or to see if I can help you with your case, please contact me at info@markowitzlawfirm.com. That's markowitzlawfirm.com. Warren Markowitz, Esquire, a modern lawyer for modern times. Cryptocurrency and traditional forms of payment accepted.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-605-6818. That's 800-605-6818. 800-605-6818.
It's his world. You just live in it. This is the Warren Markowitz Show.
And we're back. Okay, cool. All right. Internet. The internet. Okay, this nice little thing that you guys are listening to me on. The thing that we like to use to, let's, you know, do our banking, watch movies, research things where you don't have to spend hours in the library. You can stare at this little glowing screen and probably can't read half the stuff we download anyway. You know, that interactive, multi-connected web of computers from all over the world. We take it for granted. For those of us who grew up in the era of the Britannica encyclopedia, it's a considerable leap if you think about it. I mean, when I was a kid, the idea of the encyclopedia or the idea of a library, you wanted to be by a place that had information. It didn't make a difference, the quality, because that never really came into question. The quantity, you wanted to be able to dig and dig and dig. I mean, I remember, you know, first going to law school, and by even 2000, 2001, the idea of online legal research, online resources, and so forth were just starting to really take off. Because beforehand, it was always about the book. It was always about the reference. It was always about how far do we actually dig before we find where we need to go. How far could it be? And now, all these little things we take, we have a generation of people who probably would get lost in a library if they walked through the front door. And we see ourselves in a position, a very unique position, that even though we may not be as free as we want to be, or as free as we'd like to be, involving the internet, or involving the services we can acquire, the things we can do, or what's considered legal in one jurisdiction while not legal in another jurisdiction, we find ourselves in a position in which people that we don't trust to begin with are now going to have an opportunity to make a comment about what the internet can and can't be used for. Let's lighten things up a little bit, all right? There are no-nos. Socially unacceptable courses of behavior. Okay? I mean, there was a recent article in the American Bar Association Journal about somebody who got caught up in an investigation, I think it was by the FBI, involving child pornography. All right. If you're the kind of person who thinks that's a cool thing, do me a favor. Drop me from your mailing list. If you recognize the, let's just be polite about it, the absolute sick and disgusting behavior that goes along with it, then, you know, you can keep me as a friend on Facebook, because that's where that's my position too. But here's the thing. The guy that got caught up in this whole thing admitted to having the videos, admitted to having the photographs, said he had only been doing it for a year and a half. No justification. But it involves something called a NIT. Sometimes it's referred to as sometimes similar situations are referred to as honeypots. And he was using one of those anonymizing services to go out and poke around and be in places he didn't belong. But it was the U.S. government, up until, of course, tomorrow, October 1st, 2016, that ultimately had the authority to declare what could and, not, and could and couldn't be accessible, and probably still could, for that matter, within the United States. But now we've got countries like North Korea, and countries like Yemen, and countries like Sudan, and countries like China, and countries like Russia, and countries like, just keep adding names, Saudi Arabia, Egypt, Iraq, Iran, all now having a say in how the internet is managed. Now, you and I both know, here's the situation. When you've got a group of people who all they want to do is maintain control and filter information and make sure that what you hear, think, say, and do is approved, you tend to think second and third and fourth times about where the sources are from. Hence the reason for services like I2P and Tor and so forth. Because, oh, by the way, this doesn't even include VPNs or anonymizing circuits or proxy servers or whatnot. Because the whole concept is fairly simple. We've got countries out there who block thousands of services. Brazil. Everybody thinks Brazil is a relatively well-balanced, more than a third-world government or more than a third-world country, even though it's ravaged with substantial poverty in some places and abject wealth in others. But they turn services off like WhatsApp, because they want to control the telecommunications between people. And they turn services off, and they block services because they block the IP addresses to which these places are located. I, for one, am not comfortable with the idea of giving oversight authority to a body of people who determine that politically, since we are more open and more free and more allowing than most, that we should be drawn into their narrow view of the world. But that's what's happening. Our government is literally giving the keys to the kingdom to a group of people who detest, despise, and just downright don't like us. So what do we do about it? Do we ignore it? Do we have the authority to stop it? Can Congress do something? Well, I would think that Congress could stop the activity itself. But we see how fast they're moving. We see how cooperative they've become. I mean, look at it this way. Think about the simple fact that we've got Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump running for president. We've got an imbecile named Gary Johnson running on a Libertarian ticket. And we've got Daryl Castle sitting there on the Constitution Party on the other ticket. Jill Stein on the Green/Communist Party. And what do we wind up with? We've got two imbeciles arguing with each other over the last debate. And people with an education, people like you and I, people who think for themselves, whether on the left or the right, are sitting here going, who do I vote for? What do I vote for? I mean, where are we going? And it's things like the internet control and oversight. Things that we've taken for granted for 30 years. Yeah, 30 years. The internet is so damn new in terms of the broad spectrum of things that for the last 30 years it existed because we chose it to be. Raise your hand if you ever had dial-up. Raise your hand if you ever had AOL or CompuServe. Now think about the time when you actually had the opportunity to send email from AOL to CompuServe or vice versa. Or to a private network. When internet mail became something that became commonplace. I remember in the finance industry, we had to print out the internet emails. Because they were considered documents and we had to keep them. But nobody knew how to keep documents except if you printed them out and stuck them in a folder. So lo and behold, this whole concept of us developing a technology that would reduce the consumption of paper and help to avoid the then concern of deforestation wound up increasing consumer use of paper by 3 times. Because nobody knew what to do with it. And it wasn't considered retained or saved. They didn't know how to do this. This was all developing. This is like going from the Model T Ford to the Apollo spacecraft in 20 years. That's how much time, how much compression we've seen in the 30. And now we find ourselves faced with a situation in which those governments that are known to keep information out, Iran, for example, blocks services so that people don't find out what's going on in their country. China blocks information so that news reports aren't counter to the position of the government. Now, mind you, I am more than sure, that there are people that want to share information, that want to share ideas, that want to have access to things outside of their home. Who hasn't read a foreign newspaper on the internet? Who hasn't poked around in movies? Who hasn't enjoyed doing their banking and watching porn, even if you won't admit it? But the bottom line happens to be, how much of this is going to be reduced, restricted, or infringed upon in general because somebody else is now going to have the control over the DNS, also known as domain name service? You ever get one of those 404 errors or 403 errors or domain name not found? I'm dealing with that now with GaultSpeaks.com, by the way. Just to pay attention, GaultSpeaks.com is not connected to my programs at the moment. So if you're looking for things, you need to use the Radio Markowitz icons or the Radio Markowitz logos and follow those because I had a disagreement with my internet service provider. And my internet service provider wanted to charge me a ridiculous amount of money to recover a domain name they had no business letting go of. But that's beside the point. We're faced with a very unique situation in which we've all discussed the ideas of a world government, the idea that someplace other than our local communities or our local states having governmental authority over the lands, the use of the lands, the water rights, the air rights, the pollution issues, and so on and so on and so on. Americans have a big enough problem when Washington sticks its nose in where it doesn't belong. What are we going to do when we don't have any redresses whatsoever because Washington is passing its responsibilities on to some unelected, unnamed, unfaced body that not only holds political positions counter to us, but holds maybe religious issues that are counter to us, or social issues that are counter to us. Keep this in mind. You know, the use of Twitter and Facebook and everything like that, whether you like it or not, help to advance social issues today. And those social issues in some parts of the world are criminal acts. People are murdered over them. The funniest thing I find, the most sarcastic thing I find, is when the left, I mean the far left, decide to choose supporting Islamists and claiming people are Islamophobic and, you know, gays love this and gays love that and so on and so forth. And yet they go to those other countries and homosexuals are hung. They're thrown off buildings. They're murdered. They're massacred. Or when Christians figure, oh, they just don't understand us. Well, they do understand us. They don't like you. They're going to kill you. These are the things we're now going to compete with. If information was considered golden and communications without interference was considered golden, how many more things are going to be restricted because the government wants to have a say in your life? If you don't think it's happening and that it's not going to get worse because of this, ask yourself this question. What happens if you have any money in the bank and you want to take some of it out? Have you ever tried to take a decent sum of money out of the bank? Have you ever tried to take $10,000 or $15,000 or $20,000 out of the bank in cash? Have you ever tried to do a wire of substantial amount, maybe to buy a house or a car or a boat? And you've had to have it verified and double-checked and triple-checked and get somebody's permission because somebody thought it might be something improper? Have you ever seen that? Have you ever done that? I have. It's part of my business. It's part of people I do business with and take care of. That's what a lawyer does. I help facilitate transactions at some times. But yet, I'm always jumping through hoops because somebody else wants to make a decision on where I am going and what I am doing. You see, guys, the more we think we're free, the more we recognize the fact that our freedoms are being removed because somebody else wants to make the decisions for us. I'm not happy with that. You shouldn't be happy with that. The turning over the one piece of technology, or the oversight of the one piece of technology that America has contributed more to in terms of being able to connect people in this world, not only should stay with us, but must stay with us. Even though physically it's not leaving California, the governmental authority, the control authority, is going to be sitting in the UN with people we don't even trust to not say death to America. Pick up on the next topic when I get back. Sit tight.
Lock it in and rip the knob off.
Red State Talk Radio.
Freedom comes with a price. Responsibility. This is the Warren Markowitz Show.
Do you take Viagra? Are you tired of overpaying for your pills? What if you could get the exact same results for just a fraction of the price? Guaranteed. Well, now you can with Sildenafil, the active ingredient in Viagra. With 20 milligram generic sildenafil tablets, you get the exact same results of Viagra for less than $2 per pill. And again, the results are guaranteed. That's right, absolutely guaranteed results for a fraction of the cost of Viagra. So give your wallet a break and call us toll-free at 800-217-0599 to get your generic sildenafil delivered discreetly to your door. And of course, while saving hundreds of dollars, you'll also be saving time by saying goodbye to those long, embarrassing pharmacy lines once and for all. Again, just call 800-217-0599 and get your generic sildenafil with a 100% money-back guarantee. Getting your pills doesn't get any easier or cheaper than this. So call 800-217-0599 now.
Hi, I'm Warren Markowitz, host of the Warren Markowitz Show. Catch me every Tuesday and Friday at 10:30 a.m. Pacific Time on Spreaker.com. to talk about politics, economics, and anything else that just might tickle my fancy. Okay, here we go. I have a question for you. What does Burundi, China, Congo, Ivory Coast, Cuba, Ecuador, El Salvador, Ethiopia, Kyrgyzstan, Mongolia, Paraguay, the Philippines, Republic of Korea, Saudi Arabia, and South Africa all have in common. I know I tossed a lot at you, but I'll give you a little hint. They're all part of the panel of the United Nations Human Rights Commission. There's a little group of people, half of which, by the way, that were named, are not exactly your most favorable to anybody who's human or anybody who has any rights, are part of a commission that oversee actions of member states and determine whether or not those actions are outside of what would be considered normal human rights. Now, what is Americans consider human rights? I think we actually documented it. This little thing called the Bill of Rights should be considered at least a starting point for human rights. You know, freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom of association, freedom to piss off your government if you choose to. That's just my little variation. The right to bear arms, which means it gives you the right to protect yourself, the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Or if you are French, the life, liberty, and pursuit of property. How about the right to simply be left alone by your government? Most of those countries that I listed don't even recognize the idea of leaving people alone. You're not citizens, you're subjects. You're part of the process to make the government money, to make the state money. What you earn is not yours to keep. What they allow you to keep is yours. One of the reasons why I have a big problem when it comes to taxation. How much do you think is my fair share? How much do I have to earn before you're satisfied with stealing from me? So anytime you hear a politician refer to the fair share being given up by corporations or wealthy or whatnot, think about what's fair. Who determines what's fair? The person giving or the person taking? Because remember something. The person taking had no contribution to the person giving. And a person giving may not consider it fair. Generally speaking, I consider taxes fair when they affect us all equally. Now, you might be thinking, how is equally equal? Well, put simply, U.S. government should go to a flat tax. Plain and simple. We pay 12% or 15% of our income, top line number, straight across the board. Everybody pays 12 or 15%. No tiers, no breaks, no nothing. Everybody's got an axe to grind. Everybody's got something in the fight. 12%. That's it. You don't deduct your insurance. You don't deduct your other taxes. You don't deduct your child care expenses. You don't deduct your personal interest. You don't deduct your mortgage interest. Nothing. If you make $100,000, you cut a check to the government at the end of the year for $15,000, or you pay it out over the year. Period. You make 10, it's $1,500. You make 50, it's $7,500. Everybody pays the same proportionate amount. Now, you might be saying to yourself, well, Warren, but how can that be? Now, somebody who makes $15,000 a year is not living the same lifestyle as somebody who makes $100,000 a year. You're right. But what is that person who's making $15,000 doing that the person who's making $100,000 is not, or vice versa? Who's responsible for that? See, one of the biggest problems about equality and income equality across the board is that the only thing it will lead to is equal misery. Everybody will be miserable. And I don't need to pay 50% of my income just because you think it's not fair that somebody who's making less money than I am shouldn't pay at all. You see, equality, when it comes right down to it, is the treatment before the sovereign. In this case, the federal government or the state governments. We should all be treated the same. We may be able to buy better toys. We may be able to afford better toys. We may be able to enjoy our time off because we've made better investments than some or others. But we should all have the same opportunities. I firmly believe that. And we should all be able to take advantage of those opportunities. But in terms of equality, in terms of taxation, the fair share should make a body cringe. It should be like nails on a chalkboard. Because it's somebody else deciding that you don't, that because you work harder, then you should be giving up something that doesn't, to somebody else who hasn't worked for it. Now you might be saying to yourself, well, Warren, what does that have to do with the Human Rights Commission? Well, let me tell you. Let me share this little thing with you. Let me share a headline from the Washington Post. Worldviews. U.S. owes black people reparations for a history of racial terrorism, says UN panel. That's right. The United Nations Working Group of Experts on People of African Descent have decided that it's necessary that America should pay reparations to blacks because of the enslavement of in this country in the very beginning, and, of course, because of the advancement of racism under its police force and the Jim Crow laws and the poor educational systems and the poor economic opportunities and so on and so on and so on. Well, guys, let me put it to you this way. 150 years ago, we spent 600,000 American lives to argue about and fight out and to dispense with the idea of people as property. 600,000 lives. Regardless if they're Confederate or federal, doesn't make a bit of a difference. Each one of them was an American. Each one of them fought for what they believed in. Whether you agree with it or not, whether I agree with it or not. But we spent 600,000 lives. I can't figure out how many millions of dollars in 1860 dollars. Not even, I mean, we're probably talking billions, if not trillions, of current day dollars on the equation to resolve the matter. And we resolved it through legislation. We resolved it through the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendments of the U.S. Constitution. We resolved it through the inclusion of the Civil Rights Act in the 1960s. We've attempted to resolve it by expanding and assisting in family resources through the idea of the Great Society, even though I think that has absolutely failed and caused a bigger problem, which would be single-family households and unwed mothers and children without parents. But we fought, we died, and we bled to resolve our own problems. And here comes people that don't particularly care for the way we're doing business in our own homes and want us to pay reparations, economic dollars, educational opportunities, equality in housing standards to people that have not earned it, to people that do not deserve it, to people that were never part of it. Now, this might offend you. This might annoy you. This might overall just simply say, you know what, you're out of your freaking mind. But here's the thing. It's 150 years ago. It is four or five generations. If your grandparents or your great-grandparents were the property of another, were enslaved by another, you're not, and have never have been. You have no right to claim something that belonged to them. Let me say this again. You have no right to claim or to reclaim a right that belonged to somebody else. You're not part of the same society. You're not part of the same structure. You're not part of that. You are a result of the 600,000 lost over 5 years, plus the millions of dollars spent. If you're living in squalor, if you refuse to educate yourself, if you refuse to pull your ass up and free your mind so your ass will follow, that's your fault, nobody else's. You know, the more I read about the issues of reparations, the more I find it offensive. Because guess where it falls? Yes, who has to bear the burden of payments like that? It's not the rich, because it's a few extra bucks here or there. It doesn't really affect them either way. And that's not to be negative, and that's not to be unfair. It's a simple fact. And it's not to the poor, because, hell, if you don't pay taxes, you don't wind up paying any of the things that are outflows. You don't pay taxes because your income is too low. You don't get to complain about the bomber we bought for $1 billion. And you don't get to complain about the Navy ship that we bought for $1 billion. And you don't get to complain about the fact that we have soldiers fighting someplace else because you haven't paid for that privilege. I have a problem with people who do not pay for things, complaining about them and forcing their opinions on others. You know, we eliminated a lot of restrictions over the century and a half that since the Civil War relating to access to polls, relating to political participation. But if you choose to be a part of the problem and not part of the solution, then what you get is what you deserve. You know, America is standing at a point right now where the educated amongst us are looking at each other going, who do we vote for? Where do we go with this? Do I vote for somebody who swears that I'm going to raise the interest, I'm going to raise the cost of living, I'm going to raise your taxes, I am going to undermine your civil liberties, I am going to undermine your rights and your privileges as a human being for the betterment of others? And you sit here and wonder, why do I have to pay for this? Why is somebody else's improvement in lifestyle better for me? Simply because I don't have to step over the starving in the streets? That in and of itself might not be a bad idea. But overall, why do I have to bear the burden to improve society? Aren't I allowed to improve my own lifestyle and therefore improve society along the way? The middle class is the one who will bear the burden of any payments, any advances, any improvements. You see, I grew up in a town, many people know it, maybe you've heard of it, called Farmingville. I went to a high school called Sachem. And we had at the time, I don't know what it is now, we had a relatively small black population, even smaller Hispanic population. My part of town was either white or Portuguese or professional. There were some black families. I've never been afraid of anything. I've never been confused. Well, I've been confused by a lot of things, but I've never been afraid of people. I was never raised to be afraid of people. I was never raised to hate people. But our parents worked for a living. Our parents were involved with us. We came from a family environment. But there are parts of this country that continually work against themselves to break up their families, to destroy the very structure. And yes, sometimes it's along racial lines. There's plenty of white trash out there, don't get me wrong. But overall, we are being forced into a position that we're being made to feel bad. Listen, if you choose to live in poverty and do nothing about it, whose fault is that? If you choose not to educate yourself or work towards improving yourself, whose fault is that? If your parents aren't educated and you choose not to educate yourself because you think sitting on your ass and collecting an EBT card every month is the way to a prosperous lifestyle, whose fault is that? Because you'll never have more than you got, and the more you try to take, the more pushback you're going to get. I mean, we have seen in the last 10 years an increase in poverty in the United States, a decrease in the number of jobs available for people who are willing to work, and an increase in the number of laborers that undermine the very people that we should be worried about. Let me explain something to you. Let me share something with you. Paying reparations to improve somebody else's lifestyle simply means I don't deserve what I've earned. Well, if I go back far enough, I think one side of my family was here somewhere around the Civil War. The other side of the family didn't show up until the 20th century. So does that mean I get to pay half? Does that mean that I don't have to pay at all? I mean, I didn't participate in, historically speaking, I didn't participate in slavery. I didn't benefit from slavery. It wasn't here when I got here. I showed up in the 1960s, where people still looked to advance the rights of the individual. I showed up at a time in which a generation of well-educated, well-thought-out, well-minded people were fighting for the rights of those who were being left behind. And now we turn around, we look, and what do we have? A generation of people that are offended by everything, that are upset by everything, that are triggered by everything. The idea of trigger words, the idea of microaggressions, the idea of language being offensive. If language was all overly offensive, the conversation I had yesterday with two people would have landed my ass in jail. And at one moment, it almost did. Folks, we have got to recognize the simplest of things. That countries that choose to do things like hang homosexuals or throw them off buildings, or worse yet, claim they don't exist. Yeah, ignoring a person because you choose not to recognize their lifestyle, I think is even more demeaning than murdering them. One is a little bit more definitive than the other, of course. But ignoring a person and then turning around and saying, you're bad, you need to pay for that because of what you did and what you're doing. If I could say what I wanted to on the radio to the UN Commission on Human Rights, I would say it, but I can't. We are beyond frustrated with groups trying to tell us how, where, when, and why to do things. So I ask you this. At what point are we going to say, thank you very much, it's time for you to go? Or can we at this point? Because we are getting ourselves so wrapped up in a federal government that has given up so much to outsiders that we may not be able to get around that. Think about it. Be back after this message.
The Warren Markowitz Show. If you're thinking about it, we're probably talking about it.
Mostly Mail, your local provider for all your postal packaging and mailing needs. Owned and operated by your neighbors, Mostly Mail provides the packaging and mailing services you need when dealing with all your holiday shipping. Visit Bill and the Boys at 7260 West Azure Drive, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89130. Or give them a call at 702-294-6245. That's 702-294-6245 for more information. Mostly Mail, your local provider for postal packaging and mailing needs. They keep me connected. They can keep you connected. Stop on in and tell them Warren sent you.
This is Paul Preston, host of Agenda 21 Radio. Join me Monday through Friday on Red State Talk Radio, the dominant force in conservative internet talk radio. So lock it in and rip the knob off.
You know, I got to tell you something. I've never listened to Agenda 21 Radio, but I got to say something about it. We've discussed the idea of Agenda 21 on this show several times over the years. And the overall concept and idea that an outsider and a cause of the concept of Agenda 21 is fairly simple. It is 21st century living. It is high density areas. It's pushing the population into higher dense areas in order to be able to reduce the impact on land, increase the control of people in tighter areas, tighter spaces, because people, when they're concentrated, are easier to control. I'm sorry to point this out, but it is a military tactic. It was used very well by the Germans during World War II when they pushed when the Nazi government pushed the Jews and the Gypsies into ghettos. You're able to cut them off and control them. I mean, the Berlin Wall is a prime example in modern history, considering it only disappeared at about 1990. Agenda 21 also shifts political thinking to the left because it forces increased dependence on government. It's all about who's in charge. It's always about who's in charge. If you've been reading about, if you've been following the matter out here with Clive and Bundy. For those of you who don't know Clive and Bundy, according to the government papers and charges, filed or led a rebellion in 2014 against the Bureau of Land Management, private contract cowboys, and whatever other federal government agencies have been tossed in there. And the whole idea is not about the right or wrong of something. It was about who's in charge. It's about who's in control. It's about who has to say, yes, you can do that, or no, you can't do that. That's what it turns out to be. It's simple. So, when you find yourself in that position, ask yourself that question. Who's got the last say? Is it you? Is it me? Is it some bureaucrat sitting in a box somewhere? Just to give you, since we're just wandering around here in the last couple of minutes, there was a Article 5 convention of states a couple of days, last week or the week before. It was a test run. Okay, it was a test run to see what they could do or how they can go about doing it and trying to establish or structure a constitutional convention. And the idea was really simple, to see what they could, quote, fix, adjust, manipulate, and so forth. It was successful. They didn't do anything per se because it was only a test run, but they had 137 participants, representatives from all 50 states. And the numbers are actually pretty interesting. They need 34 states to approve a change. And then I think they need 38 states, they need three quarters plus one, to actually approve a constitutional amendment. Now, when you got 50 states, if you think about it, to get three quarters of them plus one to do anything is nearly impossible. Because, it's the old joke, when you get two Jews in a room, you get three opinions. When you put 100 and some odd different politicians in a room, you probably get a couple of thousand different opinions. And there were many, many issues that were put forth in front of the states over our history that simply did not pass because you couldn't get enough people to agree to it. This argument that is being put forth that women don't get paid the same as men, whether it's factual or not, is kind of irrelevant. Because in the end, the matter was fairly simple. The Equal Rights Amendment never passed. They tried pushing it, They tried dealing with it. They tried organizing it, but it never passed. So why bring up something that is just going to cause problems? Which leads us, by the way, back to this idea of reparations. This concept that the UN should tell us that we need to pay reparations because of Jim Crow laws, because of slavery, because of economic inequality, because of social inequality, because of all the little things. But yet the main people involved in the Human Rights Commission are known to outright murder minorities, hang homosexuals, dictate what you can and can't do, where you can and can't live, who you can and can't associate with, undermine religious freedoms. But it's we have to pay reparations because we're the last remaining empire in this world that actually has slavery within arm's reach of its recent history, even though it was 150 years ago. You know, but this is, you know, this is absurd. Actually, you know what? Somebody did make a point. The Brits didn't outlaw slavery until the 1830s. How about the idea of the peasants and the, what do they call those? They weren't the peasants. They were the ones bound to the land. The serfs in Russia. In the Russian Empire, with the fall of the Russian Empire, the serfs. The serfs didn't get their freedom until almost the fall of the Russian Empire. They're a lot closer in terms of modern times, but you're not going to hear, you know, the Human Rights Commission saying that the Russians have to pay reparations to the serfs because they were, quote-unquote, their own people. They enslaved their own. But what about those who got shipped out to the gulag? What about those who got tossed out into the middle of absolutely nowhere to build cities that stand and are used today? You know, the end result happens to be fairly simple. The UN should take its nose out of America's business, and America's business should be taken out of the UN. I don't think we're getting the benefit of the bargain that we looked to acquire when we stuck ourselves into the UN. I don't think it's managed to stop a major war. I don't think it's managed to stop a major border dispute. And I don't think, if you want to put the honest truth, this little problem we have right now between Pakistan and India, again, shooting at each other over Kashmir, is a big problem because now we've got two nuclear powers arguing over a bad sweater, and they're willing to use the bomb on each other. Yeah, actually, that's a true thing. It was a moral issue to use the atomic bomb. And thank God that it's only one person who actually had the guts to do it. But the point still remains. You've got two legitimately pissed off governments with the tools to do so and the weapons to do so. And we don't know whether or not they're willing to use it. Where's the UN on that? Where's the UN on the issue of Kashmir? Because Kashmir is like Cyprus. It's ruled by two different people claiming the entire place, and all they're doing is facing each other off with guns. And it's not, yeah, it's not a new issue. It's been there since since India got its freedom after World War II, and they partitioned India into Pakistan in the north and India in the south. Or east and west, depending on how you want to look at it. Okay. The point still remains. Thank you very much to the English government. Maybe you should resolve the issue between your former colony, which now became colonies. But listen, guys. Reparations, the internet, communications, freedom of association, freedom of conversation, all the things we take for granted are being chopped away and packed away and given away for the sake of kumbaya. As much as I want to be able to sit and talk and not worry about my neighbors, there comes a time when we can sit and talk and not talk and worry about our neighbors and still not face a problem. I mean, I would prefer that the internet, that the DNS system for the internet remained under U.S. control. I prefer that the UN Human Rights Commission started looking in their own backyards and not at a 150-year-old problem that, by the way, we've actually been resolving. But hey, that's my opinion. It's Friday, and I'm going to call it a weekend. Thanks for your time. I'll catch you again next week. Be good. Thanks.
The Warren Markowitz Show. Politically incorrect speech for politically correct times.
Tune in to Red State Talk Radio, the new media's talk monster for grassroots, common sense, conservative talk radio.
That's what freedom is all about.
Red State Talk Radio, WRS Digital, Cleveland, Tennessee.